We're talking about paying attention. When you build a house, you consider lots of things, or when you build any kind of structure. I have an architect in the house who can validate what I'm trying to say. When you build a structure on a piece of land, you consider things that we might not think of. You consider where the sun will rise and where the sun might set. You consider where the mountains are and where the valley is. You consider when it rains where the water will settle and where the water will drain. You consider things like, where does the prevailing wind come from and which portions of this house might it hit? What kind of roof should I put on this house? What kind of landscape would be most appropriate to surround the house or the building with? That's before you get into the inside. As you learn to pay attention, you begin not just to see a house like you've always seen a house, because you already know what a house is, what a house is for. You begin to see the building and the landscape through the eyes of the architect. You begin to see what they were thinking about, or likely thinking about, or trying to accomplish as they built it. And if you were to get into that house or that building, and daybreak comes and you notice how the sun fills the beautiful windows which they place perfectly, and when you notice how they situated the house or the building, and you notice how the sun sets, and you notice how things drain, you suddenly realize the intent, the purpose, the thought that was in the mind of the architect, the builder, the author. We're just talking about paying attention. So this morning, I don't think it's going to take me long. We may have to call your driver to come get you early. I just want you to go along here with me and pay attention to a few verses of scripture. Can you do that with me?
Amen.
Where we're going to, as we pay attention to it, we're going to gain some understanding about society, about resources. Let somebody say money. About our relationship with God and with each other. Amen?
Amen?
Now, we could call this sermon Money Matters Number 4. Now, if you've been around long enough, or if you've been on the website, you'll see we have a Money Matters 1, a Money Matters 2, and a Money Matters 3. Who's listening to all three of them? Amen. I see about three people. Four. Money Matters 1, 2, and 3. Because let me just tell you, money does matter. And we could call this Money Matters Number 4. Are you happy? Are you nervous? Which one? This is a great addition to Money Matters 1 through 3, I believe. Our text will be found in the book of Genesis, Chapter 47, just a few verses, 13 through 25, Genesis 47, verses 13 through 25. What are we trying to do today, saints? Pay attention. That's all. And we're going to learn some things as we pay attention. Now, as we come to this text, Joseph is in charge. The devil and his brothers meant it for evil when they threw him in that pit, planned to kill him, and decided, you know, that's not a good thing. Let's just act like he was killed and let's sell him off. Because he's too big for his britches. He's got this coat of many colors. He's dad's favorite. And we're sick of him. So we'll just get rid of him. And he went along and got into this man's house, and his wife tried to seduce him, and then, of course, she lied on him. And has that ever happened to anybody? And he got thrown into jail. But there's no situation, if you're willing, that can prevent you from your destiny. There's no situation. You're going to have situations that look like Potiphar's wife's situation. You're going to have times when you think you're in the dungeon, but no, that's where your assignment is. That's where you're going to get your next opportunity from. And suddenly, you know, the king has a problem he can't figure out. That stuff wasn't just with Daniel. I have the answer, Joseph said. Amen? And so we find Joseph being second in command. The king gave him his signet ring. When you give somebody your signet ring, that means you're giving them the right to sign on the dotted line for you on anything you choose to, and you bind yourself to it. Your signet ring imprint binds you to whatever it's attached to. And so Joseph is number one, only second to Pharaoh, to handle matters. Amen? In the land. Amen. Now, God has told him and told the king through him that there would be 7 years of abundance. I mean, not just abundance, but over excessive abundance. 7 years. How do we handle abundance when we get it? How do we deal with abundance while we have it? Do we truly invest it, or do we squander it? Do we act like all that matters is today, or do we use it to our advantage for tomorrow? Sometimes we do worse than that. We actually go from the penthouse and we guarantee ourselves to be in the outhouse, because we can have overabundance and we can go past that because we want stuff, or we're filling empty spaces. You can go from all sorts of money in the bank because you got more money than you need, and you could end up in debt, an indentured servant. That's not how God would have it, but it can happen. It does happen. It has happened. So God tells him there's going to be 7 years of plenty. Overly so. But that's going to be followed by 7 years of famine, of lack. As a matter of fact, it's going to be so bad that you're going to forget the good times. Listen to me now. I said, it's going to get so hard. It's going to be so bad. You're going to forget you used to have excess. Anybody ever have it get that bad? You can forget you ever had excess, or maybe you don't forget. Let the good times roll. As we go through these sections of scripture, I want you to know that nothing is new under the sun. I want you to know that people going from a great situation into indentured servitude, it's really no different than them giving you money for free in school, only for you to wake up and find out that they own you. It's really no different from you thinking you getting wealthy on paper because people are buying and selling houses, only for you to wake up grateful you get to maybe keep your little house. Nothing has changed. All you have to do is pay attention. But if you don't apply what you learn while you were paying attention, then the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. We're just paying attention, And I'm trying to tell you we're going to learn some things as we pay attention. And I'm trying to tell you that really nothing has really changed. But you have times of plenty. But don't fall for the okey-doke. Don't fall for the fake wealth. Don't get sucked into that. Know how to handle when you have plenty. Amen?
Amen.
But we're going to learn some things. He was told that there was going to be abundance 7 years, and that was true. And he was told it was going to be really rough after that. So what did he do? While there was plenty, he's Pharaoh's guy, right? So folks are just rolling, man. They're just rolling in the dough. I've seen this happen. I've seen folks while I was struggling and while I was handling my business, while I was getting my making sure my house was in order, they were rolling. I made 2-3 times as much money as they did, but I was strapped and they were living large all kinds of ways. But as time goes by, their game ran out. And the investments had built. I don't just mean investments in the marketplace and all that. So I mean investments in how to handle, how to own your money and not have it on you. How to handle God's blessings. How to be patient, not having to all have it all now. How that mountain can build in your favor or it can fall on you. He began with all of this excess that they had, he began to buy up the excess so that he could store it up for later. Do you see what he's doing? Buying up the excess. He says, this is the plan. This is what you should do, Pharaoh. Here's what's going to happen. It's going to be 7 years of excess and then 7 years of very much lack. And here's what you ought to do. And so Pharaoh said, find me a man that can run this program for me. He says, wait a minute, why don't you know the program? Why don't you run it for me? This is how he became second in command in all of Egypt. So he bought up all of the excess while the going was good. And then as soon as those 7 years were up, the famine took hold. And it was really, really bad. Amen?
Amen?
After enjoying the good life for 7 years, I love the way the King James says it, money failed. You ever have money fail? Oh, it was just rolling in until it's not. Money failed. And what you'll see here is that not only did the money stop coming in, but you start to realize how money in and of itself actually has no inherent value. You cannot breathe, eat, or drink silver and gold. They have no inherent value. They're just ways for you to get the stuff that you need and want. And that's why Rockefeller is no better off than you, because he can't eat no more or drink anymore or breathe any more air than you. But you'll ruin your life trying to mimic him. And he'll let you do it, because that's just more years of indentured servitude that he gets out of you. How does it happen? How do you get somebody to be your slave and it's their idea? How do you get somebody to do it and there's no gun to their head? How do you get somebody to do it and there's no whip to their back? How do you get somebody to do that and have it be their idea? You offer them what their flesh wants before they should have it. You give them something that you know they want that will make them feel good now, but then they got to keep coming back to you for it. There's nothing new under the sun. So after enjoying the 7 years, the money began to fail. And there was no food that grew from the ground. And so here's the thing. When you grow food, then not only do you have the seed, right? That seed could be ground to make bread, but you also need the seed to get more food. Well, if you don't have the food, then you don't have the food, nor do you have the seed. But what had Joseph done? He had collected it over those years. So who has the food? Pharaoh. Who has the seed? Pharaoh. So who you got to go to? Pharaoh. I could go on and on and on, but let me just tell you, that's no different from our society. No different. So let's go to the text. We'll start at verse 13. What are we doing, saints? Paying attention. Verse 13, and it says, and there was no bread in all the land. Is that clear to you? There was no bread in all the land. Now, listen to me now. Their bank accounts are bursting at the seams. They've got all kinds of money. They've got land. Listen to me. Pharaoh does not own their land. Do you hear me? Pharaoh does not own their land. They are private landowners. If you landed on the land and you were the first one there and you settled there, that was the rule. You now own the land. And they're rolling in the dough. And animals had value back then. They've got all kinds of animals. You know how when people would go to Jerusalem in biblical days and they were ready to do the Passover and all that sort of stuff, and they exchanged the animals for money, right? They've got all this. But the Bible says there was no bread. There was no food in the land. For the famine was very sore. So that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan, so every place around, fainted by reason of the famine. Is it pretty clear how bad it was? Verse 14, and here's what Joseph did, though. Joseph gathered up all the what?
Money.
All the money that was found in the land of Egypt. And in the land of Canaan. Why? For the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. Here's what's happening. I've got the bread, right? I've got the seed, right? You're loaded with money, right? You got it going on. But guess what? The most important things, the staples of society, the things you really need to live on, because you can't eat that. You can't eat money. Now you got to come to me. So now you empty your pockets and I give you the food. So that's not so bad, right? I have the money, right? That's not so bad. It's really no different from me. I started out as a farmer and now I'm going to the grocery store instead of producing my own, right? Now I'm just going to the grocery store. I go and give the money and then you give me the food as opposed to me growing it myself. I can't do that anymore. But at least I have what it takes to buy what I need, right? There's no shame in that. But this is what's happening in verses 13 and 14. The people owned their own land and they were living large. They had lots of money, but they had no food. So here's the first change that we see occurring as we what? Pay attention. They did indeed go from food-producing people to food-purchasing people. So they've already had their cheese move. They've already had an adjustment in their life. They've already begun to have a change in their perspective. But that's where it gets interesting. As we move on to verse 15. It says, and when money failed, your money's run out. Your money is gone. In the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to who?
Joseph.
To Joseph. And what did they say?
Give us bread.
Uh-huh. Keep going. Uh-huh. So when my money runs out. When there's no more money to do the stuff that I like to do, that's when I come to you. When my money runs out. When my plan isn't working anymore. When I failed to save when I had it going on. When my money runs out, I come to you and tell you, you need to give me. How'd that sound? My money's run out, and I'm coming to you, and I'm saying you need to give me, listen to me now, pay attention. You need to give me. If my money runs out, I want you to give me. I didn't say loan. Give me what you have. Why? Because you got it. You've got all this plenty. I know you do, because everybody knows you've been storing it away. So my game is play. Give me from what you have. Does it sound familiar? Does this relate to things that go on in your life? Have you been on either side of this equation? I want you to give me because I know you have it. Now, I was doing what I was doing, and you were doing what you were doing. And so now you put yourself on this side of the equation, and now I'm telling you, give me. Paying attention now. I don't know if you're getting it. Maybe a couple. Give me. You'll understand. This is paying attention. You may think, well, what, Pastor, why are you emphasizing that give thing so much? Where did you get that from? Is that your issue? Is that just what you want to say? No. If you pay attention, it interprets itself. So here's what we begin to see. Their money's running out. And now you ask me to get, you want me to give you my stuff. So here's what we see here. We see, first of all, entitlement. Do you know anybody that's got entitlement mentality? You should be giving me. Why? Two simple reasons. My game has run out and you got it. Is that complicated? That's not complicated. I had it. It's gone. Give me. Why? Because you have it. Is that complicated? Entitlement. Mentality. But here's the second thing I want you to notice. I want you to pay attention to. I want you to understand how to apply it to your life and how to interpret the scripture. Here's the other thing that you should notice. They focused on what they didn't have. They failed to pay any attention to what they did still have. Now, they're out of money, but they're sitting on land that they own. They're sitting on all these animals, but they want you to give what's yours. Because they were entitled. You sitting on all this. My money's gone. Give me, give me, give me. Now, this is a first. Notice. They have an entitlement mentality. My money's gone, so you ought to give me. Not loan, give. And I'm sitting on land. I'm sitting on a bunch of animals. It never occurred to me to use up some of my own resources. Has this ever happened to you? Now, I still want to be able to go to Vegas, and I still want to be able to go out to dinner, and I still want to be able to do all that. I want to have my nice kicks. I want to do all of that, but give me, give me, give me, because my game is played, because I've got a lifestyle to support. So my point is, I could make some sacrifices. I could sell some of this stuff I've been holding on to. But instead, I want to be able to maintain that. And you give me. Don't you dare. Oh, don't you have the audacity to mention that. Don't you dare notice that you know you actually have what you need. No, 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 no. Not as the one who's got it. Oh, you don't have a place to speak those truths. I just want you to pay attention. As these people's situation vis-a-vis food and where it comes from and their relationship with Joseph begins to give us an understanding about society, our relationship with each other and with God and money. Are you following me so far? So we recognize the entitlement. And we recognize that all they focused on was what they didn't have and what you got. And really did not pay any attention to, didn't have the heart to mention what they have. When you have the right character, when you ask for something, you trying to figure out, what can I do for you? I'll wash your car every Saturday. I'll come to your house. I'll clean it up. I just need money. I don't have it. I got more time and energy than money, and you got more money than time. I'm just trying to make a match so we both win. But if I come with that one-way, selfish, entitled mentality, that's a taker. This is where they were. I know you got all that stuff because I remember you were buying it up. And you stored it up. And now I'm out of money. Give me. So where do we go next? I think it's verse 15, 16. So what does Joseph say? what does Pastor Morris say? Go ahead, read it.
Give me your cattle.
Uh-huh.
If the money fails.
So if your money runs out, I don't know about all this gimme stuff, but I actually, you might not have mentioned it, but I know you got some stuff you could sell. you have some things of value that you didn't bring to the table. You just wanted it for free because I got it like that. Joseph said, no, well, I tell you what, I'm not going to give it to you, but I'll help you put on a garage sale so you can actually make the money to pay your light bill. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Entitlement. So Joseph says, if you give me your cattle, then I'll give you the food. Amen? If the money fails. No free lunch. They had something of value, but it didn't occur to them to mention it. They were focused on what they did not have, as opposed to what they do have. You ever done that? Go to God, oh, you never, they get this and I don't, they have this and I don't. Well, you know, they have lupus and you don't. They don't have a mother or the father, and you complaining about yours, but you got both. And still time to get love from them and to give. Oh, but it's about what I don't have constantly. How about what you do have? And guess what? You can sell some of them kicks, and you can sell that extra car, and you can stop going to Vegas, and you can stop. You could come up with the funds. You have something of value. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make an exchange with you, as opposed to just giving you. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, verse 17. So they said, okay, you know what? That's fine. We've given you all the money that we have. And you know what? You know what? You're right. I do have these cattle. And I can't feed the cattle because I have no food. So I may as well sell the cattle to you, right? That's fair. And so they brought their cattle to Joseph. And Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for the flocks and for the cattle of the herds and for the donkeys. And he fed them with bread for all of their cattle for that year. They had plenty to give. It just hadn't occurred to them. They were fully focused on what they did not have, but they actually had a lot to give, but they were focusing on Joseph's lots, amen? And felt like he was obligated to give to them. We now see they had plenty, right, of value. Now, what I want you to pay attention to, because we kind of beat up on him, I know I did, trying to explain to you, trying to highlight this entitlement mentality and the whole what I don't have instead of what I do have. But I want you to see something here. Joseph has said, no, you have something of value. No, pay attention to what you do have. No, we can actually have an exchange that allows you to keep your dignity. No, you actually can purchase what you need because you have what you need to make that exchange. Their perspective from that moment is permanently changed. Permanently changed. But if you feed into the entitlement mentality, if you enable it, then the person never gets to have a new perspective. Now, in real life, folks are going to curse you for that. I can tell you that. They're going to curse your name. They're going to slander your name. And they're going to say you uppity. They're going to say you too good. They're going to say you stingy. All because you're trying to get them to have a different perspective. You're actually trying to use the same wisdom that got you the money that you have to offer in the first place. You're trying to take them from just the consumer mentality that they had in the 7 years. You're trying to give them some of what you have. They don't want it. They just want what they want. They don't want to get better. They just want to get over. All we're doing is paying attention. That's all we're doing. So now with this changed perspective, what happens in verse 18? So when that year was ended, the whole cattle for food exchange, they came to him a second year. And they said unto him, read for me. No, that's good enough for the moment. So there's no pride here, right? We won't hide it from you that our money is gone and you have our herds and our cattle. But it makes no sense for us to be left here, you know, and to be hungry in your sight. All we have left is our bodies and our lands. Now, we could argue, oh, they have nothing left, right? But what's changed from the first time when they came, gimme, 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 and didn't even pay attention to the fact that they had the cattle or the land, let alone their bodies? I have nothing. Well, I have my body. I'm able-bodied. I can clean anything you got that's dirty. It ain't above me. I still have my body. The change is they came to him this time mentioning the fact that they recognize they have something to offer. They did not come to him this time asking for or nor expecting a handout. And listen to me, they brought it up. I don't know how many of you guys have had people come to you for stuff, but notice they bring it up. You don't have to ask them this time. Here's what I need from you. I'm so sorry. I did the best that I could with what I had, and now it's gone. But here's what I have to offer. I'm not acting like you owe it to me anymore. I'm recognizing also what I do have, as opposed to what I don't. If you find an able-bodied person that is in their right mind and they're homeless, you know they're just an opportunity away. from flying high, right? You know this because you can see what they do have. So now you can actually be that catalyst. If they're interested, you can help them with an interview. If they're interested, you might be able to finance that first step off the street. If they're interested, you might be able to clothe them so that they can look like the person that they really are. Because you can see what they do have, not just what they don't have. Are we getting anywhere? Amen. We're just paying attention. That's all that we're doing. Verse 19. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us. Now, whose idea is this? Their idea. Buy us and our land for bread. And we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. And give us seed, that we may live and not die, that the land not be desolate. So they offered all that they had. Do you see their perspective having changed? They consciously gave themselves away. Both their land and their bodies, recognizing what they do have and being willing to give it all up. That's not how people think. They want to keep what they have and they want to take what you have so they can keep what they have and have what they want. Are we getting anywhere? They offered all that they had. And they recognized, notice how they asked it. They recognized that Joseph had a choice. He didn't have to say yes. So they asked it like somebody that respected the sovereignty of the person who has the stuff. Are you hearing me? They also implied in the deal that they suggested that they wanted to work for their food. You see where they've come from? They've come from an entitlement mentality, saying, gimme, 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 only paying attention to what they don't have and not what they do have, to now saying, you know, you don't owe me anything. I've got something to exchange. There is no pride in my game. And I'd like to work for my food. Do you see the distinction between these two peoples? It's actually the same people, but do you see the difference? Do you see how their perspective is completely changed? Who brought the subject up? You know, oh yeah, can I have this? Well, you know what? I see you got that car that's sitting in the driveway. I passed you up on your way. You weren't in church because you were going to Vegas. I don't understand. Well, this time, guess what? You know, I cut back on this, and I stopped going to Vegas. I'm not going, and I didn't do this, and I sold that, and I just need. I'm short by 500. That's a whole different mentality. And I'm willing to work for the five. How many people you know like this? Not enough, huh? Not enough. Does this sound like what you would be like if you were in need? Their perspective is completely changed. And so if you're the one with the stuff, you feel completely different when they approach you, right? All we're doing here is just paying attention. Not just driving by it and not noticing, waiting for the punchline that we already knew because we've heard it a million times. I hope we're learning something. I thought I wasn't going to get all excited, but as you can tell, I can't help it. Let's read verses 20 through 23. So Joseph brought all the land, or bought, excuse me, all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field. because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. There's so many contemporary examples I can give you for that. I finally got my car paid off. What do I do? You know what I do. The land becomes Pharaoh's. Payday loans. Easy money if all you got to do is own a car. Just have a job. I finally got free. It's going to become Pharaoh's again. Nobody's going to put a gun to my head. All they're going to do is wait for the equation to be off between what I have and what I want. Not even most of the time what I need, what I want. All the robber barons have to do is just wait. That's all they have to do is wait. And because they got you, you're going to have a sense of lack. You can always feel like I should have more. And you're going to do whatever you have to because you only have one life to live, right? And so you're going to do what you have to do to have what it is that you want. So you're going to willingly, just like them, give yourself away. Not to God, but to the man. It's so today. It's so us. I'm talking about people who have the ability to look at God's word and pay attention, but it doesn't stop us from being of the world. We should just be in it, but we're of it because we have the same covetousness as the world. Saved, sanctified, filled with something does not change our desire to have the stuff just like everybody else out there. We're supposed to be God chasers. They're supposed to be stuff chasers, right? And when you chase God, you know what happens? The stuff chases you. The promotions chase you. The increase chases you. We're supposed to have the formula right. And just because we go to church every Sunday, if we're working by the same formula as the world, then why are they going to come to us? Matter of fact, all they got to do is wait long enough and you'll be coming to them, willing to give your life away, willing to be an indentured servant. All they have to do is wait. They already know our nature. So he bought up all the land for Pharaoh. Every man sold his field because the famine prevailed. And this is a situation where it's truly dire, right? We roll over for a lot less. Here we're talking about needs. We roll over for wants. And as for the people, he actually removed them to cities. From one end of the borders of Egypt even to the other. So he moved them into cities so it would be easier to distribute the food. These were the places where he put the grain silos. This is where he put all the storage, so it's a lot easier to distribute the food in the cities. This man had a plan. And as for the people, he removed them. Verse 22 now. Only the land of the priests did he not buy. Why? Because the priests had a portion assigned to them of Pharaoh. And they did eat their portion with Pharaoh, what he gave them, wherefore they did not sell their lands. So if you hadn't spent all your money, then you could still buy the food and you wouldn't have to sell the land or you. Susie Orman tries to teach you this. She says, have at least 6 months in the bank. The problem is, in order to do that, I've got to not spend what I have. I've got to not get the stuff now. I've got to not keep up with the Joneses. By not keeping up with the Joneses, I'm going to pass the Joneses. Because the Joneses are in debt for what they have. You just don't know it. So we look at the church the same way. If all I cared about was having more people in the seats, I would do the things that put more people in the seats. And I would sell my soul, my ministry, my purpose along with it. But I would have what I want and what others have. I wish I could tell you what we talked about yesterday, but I'll probably take up too much of our time because it's getting late. This was not supposed to take this long. So then Joseph said to the people, "Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is the seed for you, and ye shall sow the land." Done deal, right? So now, who does the land belong to? Mm-hmm. Who does the seed belong to? Who do the people belong to? Okay, so then when the increase comes in the land, who does that belong to? It all belongs to Pharaoh. Do you think that the people understood that? They now have a new perspective. What I'm going to tell you is that these people, unlike us when we have not evolved, when we evolve, we get it, they actually knew exactly what they were getting into. They offered the exchange. They knew that they were giving it up. They knew that Pharaoh owned it all. They knew they were giving themselves away. And all belonged to Pharaoh. Verse 24. "And it shall come to pass," this is Joseph, of course, speaking, "I've bought you, and I'm giving you the seed, so now you can sow the land," because that's the problem now. The food didn't grow, so we didn't have the seed. That's what makes the famine even worse. But now I'm giving you the seed, now you can plant the land, it will actually grow, and then what? "And it shall come to pass that in the increase that ye shall give" what? Uh-huh. Okay, so what percent is that? That's 20%. Is that more than 10%? So he says you're going to give 20% to Pharaoh, and the four parts, which is 80%, you will own for the seed of the field and for your food. So I'm going to leave you, I'm going to let you have the 80%. So you can have food and you can have seed so you can plant the next time, right? "And for them of your households and for food for your little ones." So what percent of the increase actually belongs to Pharaoh? 100%. What percent of the increase does Pharaoh have a right to? 100%. And yet Pharaoh allows them to have the 80%. All he wants from them is what? The 20. Which belonged to him in the first place. It's his land, it's his seed, it's actually his people. And then the increase comes and he lets them have 80%. And only wants 20. What does that sound like? How much does God ask for? How much did Pharaoh ask for? Did they give it? Did they give it gladly? Well, if you don't know, you will know. They knew. And they gladly and gratefully gave the 20. Because they saw the gain in it. Because they knew it didn't belong to them. They didn't belong to themselves. Instead of crying over the 20 and seeing it as a loss, they celebrated and were grateful for the 80% gain. Why can't we do that over 90, 10 split? And when I say that, most of us I'm not talking to. Some of us I am talking to. Thank God I'm the only preacher I know that has as many people that he can preach this kind of sermon and not be talking to most of the people. But if you're not really giving what you should, and if you're holding back, then still this applies to you. It still applies. 20%. You happy for that 10% deal now, huh? Amen. I'm giving more than 10% because it's not, that formula is not, I'm not bound by that. Amen? Amen. I'm almost done. I had no idea this was going to take this long. All we're doing is paying attention. And so what they said in verse 25, they said in response to him saying, okay, well, here's the deal. I'll do this, but you give me 20%. I'll let you keep the other 80. And they said, thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. Happily took the deal, understanding that it works on their behalf. Why? Because everything belonged to Pharaoh. Can we understand that everything belongs to God? When we have a hard time giving back to God, it makes no sense because it all belongs to him in the first place. How do you think you got it? But we think we got it because we're smart. We think we got it because we worked hard. We think we got it because we deserve it. We're doing God a favor when we put in the offering plate. And if we give 10%, we really, 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 he's supposed to do anything we want. Heal us. We're supposed to get anything we want from him because by his stripes we're healed and all this other stuff. Because I gave. I did what you told me to do. Now you deliver. Wait a minute now. Everything I gave you, I gave you the breath that you breathe. I made your muscles work so you could do it. We get it. The script is flipped. If you start thinking, if you have the transformation that these people had, then we can be toward God the same way they were toward Pharaoh. So we should learn from their changed perspective, and we should have a changed perspective as well. Now, if we, and I'm about to wrap up, I promise. If you start thinking, and if you can think it for a second, but you can't linger on it. If you start saying, but wait a minute, but I pay taxes too. This whole gross net stuff. Well, you know, Pastor, you say 20%, but wait a minute. If I give 10, and then I got to give about 20, 25% to the government, by the way, that ain't a whole lot. Talk to me. I work real hard for a long time, and it ain't fair that I have to give so much back. But anyway, but I got to give another 25%. Now, the math, Pastor, you're trying to be slick. That's actually 10 plus 20. That's 35%. That's way more than 20. Here's the problem. If you start thinking like that, that means you missed the point in the first place. Because the point was, who does it belong to? So everything you get is what? Gravy. Because he didn't have to do it. Everything you get comes from him. So I don't know what kind of fancy sermon I could preach to try to get you to see that. But today, we just looked at a story that we think we've already known. All we did was pay attention, and we had a chance to see a type. We had a chance to see an example. We had a chance to observe a transformation in a people's perspective that we should benefit from. Amen?